Okay. Gentlemen, welcome to our learning of Tafshin Ayin, which will take us Bezrat Hashem into Tafshin Ayin Aleph. We're beginning a tremendous Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And as is the case with every Masechet we begin, if you really want to understand things well, it is recommended that you take the time to learn the Mishnayot. Run through the Mishnayot, review them about 100 or 200 times. I can tell you that when I learn a Masechet for the first time, I make a practice of reviewing the Mishnayot of that Masechta every day I begin learning. So for the first month or two, I'll review the Mishnayot of that Masechta to the point where I can basically rattle them off by heart. And that's very helpful if you can master these Mishnayot. So you'll see that it will really serve you in good stead. And that's the case with every learning you do. Knowing the Mishnayot is a tremendous asset. Our tractate focuses on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah has many halachic implications. We're going to see in the first Mishnah that there are four times in the year that are considered the beginning of the year with regards to different laws. The Rosh Hashanah that we call Rosh Hashanah is on the first of Tishrei. The Masechta is going to discuss these halachic implications. The Masechta is going to discuss the judgment that happens on Rosh Hashanah. The Masechta is going to discuss the mitzvah of blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the Masechta is going to discuss the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Yom Kippur as well, during the Jubilee year, the Yovel. The Masechta is also going to discuss the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. And that's in a nutshell what we will be learning. Let's begin. I recommend, at the end of each learning session, we will not have the time to do this, but I recommend that you get used to taking 2-3 minutes to opening up the Rif and reviewing what we've learned in the Rif. I had years where I was able to review Masechet Rosh Hashanah in anticipation of Rosh Hashanah, and then I had years where I couldn't review the Masechet, so I would take an hour or two and review the Rif. The Rif is very short, and it's very easy to review the Masechet in the Rif. This is a Masechet which, Bezrat Hashem, you will enjoy. We have Halachot, and we have Agadita, and you keep going back and forth, so let's fasten our seatbelts and let's get moving. Arba Rashei Shanimim, the Mishnah begins and tells us there are four heads to the year. And really, Rosh can mean any extremity. There are four extremities to the year, to the years. Be'echad b'Nisan, one in the month of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah l'Mlachim, is the extremity of the year for the kings, ve'l'argalim, and for the holidays, the regalim. Be'echad b'Elul, one in the month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, l'ma'asar be'ema, for taking the tithe of the animals. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Umrim, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they say, Be'echad b'Tishrei, the beginning of the year for Ma'aser Behema, for the tithe of the animals, is one in the month of Tishrei. Period. Now our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, continues and says, Be'echad b'Tishrei, one in the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year, is the extremity of the year. Lashanim, for counting of years, the year, you count the next year starting the one in the month of Tishrei. V'lashmitin, Shmita begins and ends on Rosh Hashanah. V'liavlot, and for the Jubilee year. L'anitiyah, for plantings. We know that when you plant a fresh tree, so if you plant it, let's say, on Pesach, the first 3 years you may not eat of the fruit, that's called Orla. When Rosh Hashanah comes, so that's considered like the year switch, now you're up to year number two. We don't say you need 3 years, three series of 365 days. V'la'irakot, and for taking off Maaser for the vegetables. Be'echad b'Shvat, one in the month of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah la'ilan, after 3 years. So now you no longer have a young sapling, you have a tree. So when it comes to trees, you want to know when the fourth year begins and ends for the tree. So we know the fourth year has special halachos. You know, those fruits have to be taken up to the temple and eaten in holiness. That's called netar revai. So for the fourth year, there already we say it's a tree, so then it's Rosh Hashanah, is one in the month of Shvat. And the Gemara will explain where we derive all of these from. Kedivre Beis Shammai, this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omrin, Beis Hillel are of the opinion, Chamishos Arbo, that on Tu B'Shvat, 15 into the month of Shvat, is the beginning of the year for the trees. So we said one in the month of Nisan is the beginning of the year for kings. And the idea is they used to put their contracts, they used to date the contracts based upon the number of years to the king, right? Right, third year of King David. So if a king became king, let's say on Purim, so 15 days later, one in the month of Nisan, he'd be year number two. Right. Now, we're going to see that this... okay, let's see. The Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Says the Gemara, Lamlachim lema hilchita, when we said that one in the month of Nisan is the beginning of the year for the kings, pertaining to what halachos? Why did the rabbis set a set date? Why didn't they just say, you know, every king in his anniversary, the year switches? Just wait, you know, the king got inaugurated on Purim, so wait till next year Purim, and you're up to year number two. Why did the rabbis have to set a set date? This is different than the standard Lemai Hilchasa. Ordinarily, Lemai Hilchasa means, to what halachas does this pertain? But this is different. Now, I just want to point out, I am not reading Rashi inside, though I'm trying to summarize Rashi as I read. Recognize that Rashi on Rosh Hashanah is very easy, and Tosfos is also very easy. This is a great Masechta. If you guys want to review with the Chavrusa and fill in the Tosfos, this is a great place to get used to learning Tosfos on your own. You don't have to learn every Tosfos, but if you set up a Chavrusa and try to review with Tosfos, you'll gain a lot. And this is one of those Masechta where Tosfos is relatively short and relatively easy. So here you see a long Tosfos on this page. Find your starters, skip that Tosfos. But for the rest of the Masechta, you'll see the Tosfos is easy. And I recommend that when you skip a Tosfos, mark down which Tosfos you skip. Because as you move forward in the Masechta, suddenly you'll realize, hey, I'm doing every Tosfos. This is so easy. And then you'll say, well, maybe I should set up time with Rav Bas 15 minutes or with me, and let's fill in those Tosfos and we skip. Because you'll see that 98% of the Tosfos in this Masechta are short and easy. So even the long ones, I would recommend take some time with someone and fill them in. But that, okay, at least mark them off so you know which you did and which you didn't do. Okay, back to our Gemara. Lamlachim lema hilchitas. The Gemara says, we said that Rosh Hashanah, one in the month of Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah for the kings. Why did the rabbis do that? Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, who is Rav Chisda? He was a Kohen. He was a contemporary of Rabba Bar Nachmani. He was Rava's father-in-law. Rava used to get mon every day in the merits of Rav Chisda. Rava loved Rav Chisda's daughter. Right? Rav Chisda was playing around with his daughter once, and Rava was sitting in front of him, and another rabbi, Rav Nachman maybe, and he asked her, who do you want to marry? Who are you going to marry? She said, both. So Rava said, me last. And that's what happened. He was her second husband. She was an amazing wife, the Talmud tells us. So at any rate, Rav Chisda now tells us, Lamnachim Nemai Chata, why did the rabbis set a set time for the king's year to change? Omar Rav Chisda, the Kohen, said, Lishtarot, Chazal wanted, when it comes to our legal documents, that there should be no room for error so that people won't swindle one another. So, you know, because we date our documents based on the king, you're right, this transaction took place in the third year of King David. Now, if you're going to leave it to everyone's memory, when was King David inaugurated? You could imagine that what's going to happen is that, let's say King David was inaugurated on Zayin Shvat. Okay? Now, we have a concept called Shibud. Shibud means to place a lien. And all contracts have a lien. Meaning, if Reuven borrows $1 million from Shimon, so then all of Reuven's lands have a lien for those $1 million. We put that in every contract. Every contract automatically places a lien on everyone's property. It's a given with each contract. Now, let's say Reuven took a loan, and they wrote in that loan, it was Dalet Shvat in the third year of King David's reign. So now, on Dalet Shvat, Reuven still owned $1 million worth of property. But what happens if on, let's say differently, let's say King David was inaugurated on Beis Shvat, okay? And on Aleph Shvat, Reuven sold all of his property. And on Beis Shvat, or on Gimel Shvat, he took the loan for $1 million. And let's say when he took that loan, the scribe didn't remember clearly when King David was inaugurated. So instead of switching the year and writing this is year number 4, Gimel Shvat, of year number 4 to King David, he's still writing this is Gimel Shvat of year number 3. So he's predating the contract by a whole year. And then it would turn out that the lien precedes the sale, even though really the lien did not precede the sale. But if you're leaving it up to each scribe to remember on which day exactly was King David inaugurated, or King Ferdinand, or whatever King Obama, whatever king it is, if you have to remember, well, when was he inaugurated? So if the scribe is off by one day, that one day could be a whole year's error in the contract. And then you're running into trouble. So that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So the rabbis made it, it's very clear. There's a specific day when the year changes, and it's not up to the scribe to remember every year. Now remember, sometimes in our history, we had 3 kings in a year. Kings were being assassinated right and left. So go keep up with which king you're going to date your contracts. When was he inaugurated?
Why did they have to do it off with kings? Well, just because that's not off with him.
So we will see. Chazal instituted in Chutz La'aretz that we do it with the non-Jewish kings. Really, we're talking about non-Jewish kings here. In honor of the kingdom, so that the local authorities will realize that we're respecting them. We date our contracts to their kings. That's a way of showing them honor. Okay, back to our Gemara. So again, the Gemara says, why did the rabbis do this? Why did they have a set day for the year to change? Why didn't they just go with each king according to when he was inaugurated? Amar Rav Chisda lishtarot. Rav Chisda said this was to protect the legal documents, the legal contracts. Ditnan, for we have the following Mishnah in Shviyis. Shitrichov amukdamin pesulin. The rabbi said, if you have a predated contract, what does that mean? That means you took a loan on Gimel Shvat of year number 4 of King David, and you predated by 3 days, by 5 days, by a year. I don't care when. Chazal said that contract is nullified. You have no lien with that contract. The guy owes you the money, but ordinarily a contract gives you a lien on all of the borrower's properties. Here, Chazal said, you did something wrong. You predated the contract. We're nullifying that power from the contract. Shitrei chov amukdamin, if you have a contract that is predated, pesulin, they are disqualified by the rabbis. But contracts that are dated to a later date, so you've only weakened your strength, that's okay, kesherin, it's permissible. That's why when people take a loan from me, sometimes, or if I take a loan, you borrow 10 shekel from someone, so you're supposed to write a contract, so you won't come to forget. And sometimes we don't remember the Jewish date. So I tell them, okay, let's date it a later date. We all know right now, what is it, Zion Elul? Tes Elul, we know it's not yet Tes Vav Elul, we know it's not yet Chaf Elul. So let's write Chaf Elul. If we write a later date, it'll still be a kosher contract. If we write an earlier date, then that disqualifies the contract. So that's this Mishnah. That's why also if we find a contract and the date on the contract is Shabbos or Yom Kippur, we say that's a kosher contract. Maybe they made the deal a week before Yom Kippur or a year before Yom Kippur and they dated it on a later date. That's permissible. So the Mishnah says again, Shitrei chov amukdamim, contracts that are predated pisulin, they are disqualified. Ve'amucharin, and contracts that are later, on a later date. What's that called? Pro-dated?
Post-dated.
Kesherin, they are kosher. So that's the idea. The rabbis didn't want people to make mistakes and disqualify their contracts. So they set a set date, and then people won't err. And now we quote a brisa. Tonu Rabbanon. We have a brisa that was validated. Remember, Tonu Rabbanon means the rabbis learned this brisa. They validated this in the academy of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. And the brisa says the following. Brisa comes from the word bra, external. This is something, a Tanoic quote, that is external to the Mishnah. It was not incorporated in the Mishnah. So we said that when does the calendar change? When does the year change for a king? One, in the month of Nisan. What is the month that precedes Nisan? Adar. So says the Brisa. Melech Shamad Besrin Vetisha Badar, a king that took the throne, he stood in power on the 29th of Adar. Kevan Shegia Echad Benisan, when one in the month of Nisan comes, Aletalo Shana, his year is up. So he's year number one is one day. He was king a day before Nisan. So then day number two of his reign is considered year number two already. Ve'im lo amad ela be'echad b'nisan, but if he only took the throne one in the month of Nisan, en monin lo shana, then we don't count the year. The year isn't over. Ad she'yegia Nisan achel, till the next year Nisan. He can't say, well, I was king in the morning and by nighttime I should be year number two. No, you have to be king before one in the month of Nisan. Amau mau. The rabbi said, so now we're quoting that. We just said, Melech Shamad Beslim Vetisha Ba'adal. If the king stood in power on the 29th of Adar, Kevan Shegiachat Benisan, once one in the month of Nisan comes, Aletalo Shana, then the year counts, it's as though the year is over. Hakamashmalan, this is what's coming to teach us, the Rosh Hashanah, the Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Lamlachim. That Nisan is the beginning of the year for the kings. So that I knew from our Mishnah. Must be he's teaching me something else. And he came to teach me something else. Yom Echad Bashana, Chashuv Shana. One day in the year is like a whole year. It's enough that he was king for one day in that year. And then the next day comes, it's a new year. He's king for, that's already year number two. So that's what we learned. Okay. End quote. Now we're back to our Braisa. We said in the Braisa, "Ve'im lo amad ela be'echad b'nisan," and if he didn't stand in power until one in the month of Nisan, "En monin lo shana she'yegia Nisan acher," then we don't count the year till that whole year is up till next year Nisan. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Lo tzricha. No, I still needed. I needed that quote because it was teaching me the following. It's talking about a case, the innu alei me'adal. That they took account, they voted him in Adar. Meaning he was voted king beforehand. I might think, you know what? If the Congress voted him president back then, even though he didn't actually take the throne, if they voted him king already in Adar, maybe that should be enough that when the first of Nisan comes, we should count it as year number two. Kamash Malan, that's what the Braisa came to teach us, that we go by when he actually took the throne. The fact that they agreed, that all the officers agreed, everyone agreed they're going to appoint him, bottom line, he's not president. Bottom line, he's not king. We count the years based upon when he took the throne, based upon when he is king. Could it be in 5 minutes? No? Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following braisa. Another braisa that was validated by the academies of Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya. The braisa says the following. Met ba'adav, if the king died in the month of Adar. Ve'amad achel tachtav ba'adav. And the new king was appointed to the throne that same month of Adar. Monin shana lazeh v'lazeh. So if you want to write a contract during the month of Adar, then you could write in that contract, this was year 29 of Bush. Or you could write, this is year number one of Obama. Because that year, till the end of that year, they're both kings. So if you want to write a contract, that year counts for both of them. So then when Obama is going to hit the month of Nisan, he's going to have year number two. Even though throughout the year you could write both. You could write Bush or Obama. It doesn't matter. Yeah?
In the month of Adar, yeah.
Throughout the month of Adar. We're talking about non-Jewish kings. We're talking about non-Jewish territory, as we'll see in a minute. Met b'Nisan, what happens if Obama dies in Nisan, and then they have to appoint a new king, v'amad achel tachtav b'Nisan, and they appoint Biden in Nisan. So now, the whole year, we say, well, that year still counts as Obama's year, it also counts as Biden's year. Both of them, because Obama started off the year, so they'll call it year number three. If he'll die this Nisan, that'll be year number three. Because his reign began in September. Nisan became year number two.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I think it got mixed.
January.
Obama, when did he become president?
January,
how many years ago? A year and a half ago?
January 2008.
Yes.
2008. So that means in Pesach 2008, he became year number two.
Yeah.
Pesach 2009 became year number three.
Yeah.
So that means if he...
2010, year number four.
That's how we would count it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess, yeah.
Right. Okay. So then... okay, but now so now we follow
year,
how we're going to count
it. Year number three.
Four. We're year number four for Obama.
Yeah, because we already had Pesach 2000.
We already had three Pesachs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think that's right. I don't think he's president that long.
18 months.
18 months.
No, it's 2009.
2009.
Right, 2009.
Yeah, that's why he became president in 2009, January 2009.
Yeah,
so Pesach 2009, he became year number two for Obama. Pesach 2010 became year number three. Right now we're in year number three. But if he lives a day into Nisan 2011. So then he will be in year number four, based on halacha. Now, if he dies 2 days into the month of Nisan, the whole year, until next year Nisan, 2011, 2012, up to Nisan, you could count it Obama, King Obama's year number four. You could also count it as King Biden's year number one. You could count it either one. Yeah? Clear?
Clear.
Because he'll be appointed king. Okay. So the Mishnah says... Hey, this way it's more alive. Excuse the pun. back to the Braisa. So, Met Benisan. If the king died in Nisan, V'amad Achel Tachtav Benisan, and a new king is appointed in Nisan, Monin Shana Lezev Lezev. So the whole year, they could both be counted king. They're both kings. Met V'adav. What happens if he dies in Adav, V'amad Achel Tachtav Benisan, and the new king is appointed in Nisan, Monin Rishona LaRishon, so then the first year can only be counted for the first king, because, you know, the next king wasn't appointed yet. Meaning if Obama dies this year Adar, and Biden only takes the throne in Nisan, so until Nisan you could only count it year number three to Obama. And then Vishnia, and then after Nisan, when Biden is appointed, that's going to be year, that's going to be year number one, Lasheni, to the second king, to Biden. Okay, that's the Braisa. Now the Gemara is going to try to work out. Wait a second. Why'd you have to give me all these cases? Wasn't all of this obvious? So far, so good, guys? We're all together? Amar Mar. We said the following quote. Met ba'adar. If the king died in Adar, ba'amad achel tachtav ba'adar. And the new king was appointed in Adar. Monin shana lezev lezev. So then that year, you could still count it either Obama or Biden's year. Either one. Pshita, isn't that obvious? And I might think that we don't have such a concept that you could count the year to either one of two kings. Kamash Malan, that's what the Braisa came to teach me, that you could. That either way you'd word the contract would be legitimate. You could count that you could have a situation where it could be either king. Met b'nisan v'amad achel tachtav b'nisan, we said in the Braisa, if the king died in Nisan, and the new king was established in Nisan, Monin Shana Lezev Lezeh, then the year counts for both. That's the case where we said the president dies in Nisan, and then the vice president is appointed, so then that whole year can be counted in either one's name. In the contract, you could write either one. The year is both year. Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara, Mao Detema, I might think, when do I say that one day in the year counts like a whole year? Besof shana, that's in the end. Aval betchilat shana, but when he only lived one day into the month of Nisan, lo amrinan, then I might say, don't count the whole year as Obama's year. He only lived one day into the year. You know, once there's been a new king appointed, maybe the whole year should count for the new king. You shouldn't count it for the old king. Kamash malan, that's what he came to teach us. That once he lived one day into the year, that whole year can be counted his year. We said the last case in the Braisa, Met Ba'adar V'amad Achel Tachtav B'Nisan, Monin Rishona LaRishon V'Shniya LaSheni. If he died in Adar, and the new king was appointed in Nisan, so the first year goes for the first one, the second year goes for the second one. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Lo Tzricha, no, it's necessary because it's teaching us in the following case. De'im Nu'alei Me'adar. In Adar, when the king died, all the officers got together and agreed to appoint the next king. V'melech ben melechu, and it is the king's own son. It's George W. and it's his son. Which one's George W.? The
George
father
w.
or the son?
George
okay,
H.
George
w.
and... George.
H.W. is the father.
H.W. and George W., okay? So if the father dies when he's president, and all of Congress decides they're appointing the son, but they don't get to do it until Nisan. So you might think, wait, it's his son, and kingship goes in inheritance, and everyone agrees he should be king. So maybe Mao Detem, I might think, Ninu Leitatin Shneen, maybe that first year should count already for the son, because everyone agreed, and he's the son, he's the legal heir. So I might think that when Nisan comes and he's appointed, I'll count it as year number two, because really everyone agreed to appoint him back in Adar. Kamash Malam, that's what the Braisa taught me. If he wasn't appointed, if he did not take the throne, I don't count the year in his name until he actually ascends to the throne. Okay, so we did a lot today. Baruch Hashem. What did we do? We saw there are four heads of the year. We saw that the importance of this, Rav Chisda taught us from the Mishnah, is because predated contracts are disqualified. So it's important to have a set date so people won't err. And we saw that when a king is king, even one day, that's considered like a whole year. If he got in a day before Nisan, and if he got in a day after Nisan, that also counts as a whole year. And you could have a situation where the year can be named after two kings, when they both were king during that period, so then the year could be named after both of them.